This is the Max Kellerman Show. Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio.
Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus, also on Sirius XM Channel 80. Think the Suns can come back? I do. I think they can. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. The Max Kellerman Show is presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests, join me on the Goodyear Hotline. Bucks are one game from being NBA champs. Again. They won it in 74. Suns never won an NBA championship. Milwaukee became the fourth team in finals history to go down 2-0 and win the next three games, and the first since the 06 Miami Heat. But I got to talk about something, because the steal by Drew Holiday, which, you know, they played great team defense and everything, but Drew Holiday could predict that Devin Booker was going to play hero ball. It's like the best and the worst of Mamba stuff. Kobe Bryant was the greatest bad shot maker in the history of basketball, right? But would have been even greater had he taken a few, you know, like fewer bad shots. Michael Jordan took a little higher percentage shots. Also a great bad shot maker, but took higher percentage shots. But that Mamba mentality, like, I'm going to die trying, is that's how Booker plays. That's how Kobe played. He'd leave it all out on the floor. And same thing with Devin Booker. But again, I look at Michael Jordan, one of his iconic moments in the finals. Last shot, John Paxson's open. John Paxson wasn't the second or third best player on the team, but he was a guy who could shoot, who was open, and Michael Jordan found the open man, and the open man who could shoot hit the shot. There were guys open. With their three guys on Devin Booker, there are guys open. You know, Stephen A's been going on and on about Cam Johnson. He's right about that. Cam Johnson's really good.
Now, hold on there just a second, Max Kellerman.
Also, Chris Paul was open. Like, they're open shooters. But Drew Holiday knows what everyone knows. Booker ain't passing it. Devin Booker, as Tom Haberstroh points out on Twitter, 24 field goal attempts in the fourth quarter of these finals. Zero assists. He's going to try and put up a shot. So Holiday knows it. He's already doubled. Holiday comes to triple him, takes the ball away. And then the pass to Giannis. So that's like the backcourt, which I thought would be the difference for Phoenix. Two great players like Chris Paul and Devin Booker. Devin Booker's predictability, because of his hero ball inclination, leads to the strip and the alley-oop. And by the way, Drew Holiday and Giannis, oh, you should slow it down and kick it back out. No. Fortune favors the bold. Get your points. And that's what they did. But here's the thing that not enough people are talking about. Chris Paul's foul. I tweeted it out as soon as I saw it. What's he doing? So here's your options. If you think you can foul Giannis in a way that prevents him from scoring, but you have to be sure the ball's not going to go in, I suppose you can do that. But it's kind of a jerk move because Giannis is in the air. So you're going to have to knock him out of the air when he's high up. But 7 foot tall Giannis going up, powerful and strong for the dunk against little 6 foot Chris Paul. Chris Paul ain't going to knock him out anywhere. Giannis is going to dunk it. So why are you fouling Giannis, CP3? It's a 1 point game. If Giannis dunks the ball and it's a 3 point game, there are 15 seconds left. You're down one possession. That's a winnable game. If you foul Giannis and he scores, which is what happened, so it's kind of a jerk move to try and foul him in that situation, given how high he is up in the air. You're going to take him out. But also, you only do that if you can prevent the score, which you couldn't do and didn't do. And also, as a result, not only are they up one possession, but they have the ball on the free throw line. Basically, you've now turned it into a two-possession game with 15 seconds left. Now you have virtually no chance to win. Has it been done before? Could it happen? Yes, but far less frequently than you might imagine. With the finals on the line? Chris Paul, that was like, for those who would point to the collapses of Chris Paul teams, you know, and I talked about it in the conference finals. This is why I was so happy for him after game 6 of the conference finals. These guys are writing the script right now. And you know what script was being written and Chris Paul is helping write? COVID misses the first two games of the conference finals. They win with campaign because they're playing fast. They're playing well. Then Chris Paul comes back. The offense slows down. They start to lose. And going into game six, I was like, you lose game six and you don't play well. And then you wind up losing game seven. Another Chris Paul team collapse. This time it's even worse because they got the lead without you. And then you came back and then they started losing. Then it's like, legitimately, Chris Paul, there's a reason you're not champion. You weren't good enough when the other teams were healthy. And even when AD was hurt and Kawhi was hurt and Kyrie and Harden were hurt. So you were playing. You get to the finals, which you shouldn't have been in, had the other teams been healthy. And then you were playing a team that had no business in the finals in the Bucks, because the Nets would have been there had they not been hurt. Even then, you can't win? Or in this case, the conference finals against the Clippers without Kawhi. Even then, you can't win? So going into game six of the conference finals, when he went off and had a monster, all-time great game, I was so happy for him because it didn't have to go down that way, but it did. He stepped up and put his team in the finals. That was an enormous play for his legacy. Huge. And it did not have to be that way. It could have gone south. And here we are again. You have a chance here. This is not a fully loaded Nets, Harden, Kyrie, healthy Nets squad, right? Super duper team. This is a Milwaukee team that you went up 2-0 on. A Milwaukee team with one MVP caliber player and in Middleton and Holiday, two sometimes once in a while all-star types. DeAndre Ayton blossoms into a star before our eyes. And Chris Paul and Devin Booker both playing. And maybe they lose game five anyway, but to ice it like that for your team, like in a bad way, to make sure the other team wins at home with a stupid foul to make it a two-possession game with 15 seconds left, I'm rooting so hard for Chris Paul in game six because it would be devastating for him, for his legacy, if they lose, especially if he doesn't play well. Now, for those who say, well, Chris Paul just is always unfortunate because he's never 100% by this time of the year. You know, he's like not just hurt, everyone's nicked up, but he's really, you know, he couldn't play in Houston in game seven in 2018 against the Warriors, and so they lost. And other times he hasn't been healthy. And yeah, but you know what? Maybe that's why the word I would choose for Chris Paul, if he doesn't play well and they lose, is tragic. He becomes a tragic NBA figure in the sense that, see, a tragedy, the real definition of a tragedy is a hero, a heroic figure. His fate is to be ended like in sadness. And that is a result, like a disastrous consequence. And it's a result of some fatal flaw. He was always destined to be that way, even if it felt otherwise, because of some fatal flaw. And maybe Chris Paul's fatal flaw is he's too small. Just too small. So in order to survive in the land of giants, in a sport that selects out for tall players, in a sport where almost never has a player in the modern era been under 6'4", and been the best player on a championship team. Maybe he has to exert himself so much to even get to this point that he just physically breaks down by now, or he's mentally exhausted by now, maybe. Maybe that's the fatal flaw. He's just too short to win a championship in this NBA as the best player on his team. You know, the one time he wasn't the best player on his team where there was a clear number one, that was James Harden, I think they would have won the championship had he stayed healthy. Even then he couldn't. Maybe that's what it is. But I love watching Chris Paul play. I think he's the perfect point guard. And now Isaiah Thomas said, Zeke, the Hall of Famer Isaiah Thomas, said Chris Paul has to stop playing safe. He has to stop playing it safe. He has to stop playing not to lose. He has to play to win. And if Isaiah Thomas is seeing that, I'm not going to say it's not there. But I'm not seeing that. I'm not seeing Chris Paul playing it safe. I'm seeing Chris Paul out of sorts. I'm seeing Chris Paul make mistakes, mental errors. I'm seeing an exhausted look, maybe a COVID fog, who knows, an exhausted looking Chris Paul. I've rarely rooted for a team where I don't really have a skin in the game. Like, that's not my team. Like, I'm rooting for Chris Paul to have a big game in game six because I would hate to see him get knocked out after making such a bad, historically bad blunder by fouling a guy to put him on the line, turning it into a two-possession game with 15 seconds left in a finals game. I don't want to see CP3 go out like that. Louis Riddick, ESPN front office insider on the Goodyear Hotline. Louis, long time no talk.
Max, what's up, man?
Good to hear from you. Lots going on in the NFL rumor mill. Do you expect Aaron Rodgers to show up at camp?
No.
You don't?
No, I don't.
Mm-hmm.
No, I think, look, I think the last comment that he made, which was, you know, I'm going to start getting ready for training camp. I'm going to, you know, think about things, start getting ready for training camp, and then we'll just kind of let it play itself out. I mean, it's mid-July, man, and he's just talking about he's going to start getting ready for training camp and football season. I don't think Aaron's in any hurry to report to training camp on time. I think, obviously, the financial ramifications of him not showing up have been talked about in detail, and it's a lot of money, and it's money that's not forgivable under the new CBA. So once he starts incurring these fines, that's real money coming out of his pocket. How long it lasts in the training camp, we'll see. If this gets into the regular season, then that's where the stakes get real high, and Aaron can lose a whole lot of money. But I think he's willing to, it sounds like anyway, he's willing to take a loss at the beginning simply to send a message and for him to kind of make it seem as though, or maybe make himself feel as though, look, I'm controlling my destiny here, which really seems to be the crux of this issue. He doesn't like not being able to control his exit out of Green Bay, and he's trying to affect that in some way, shape, or form.
Talking to Louis Riddick, ESPN front office insider on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio. I want to throw one thing back at you, then I want to move on to Matt Stafford and the Rams, Louis. Chris Canty, guest hosted First Take and debated with me for a bunch of shows a month ago, and something like that. And his point was, and I thought it was a good one, what you just said. It's that Aaron Rodgers, you know, the Packers decided the end of Brett Favre's Packers tenure. And Aaron Rodgers wanted to be the captain of his own ship, wanted to be the deciding one about the way his tenure with Green Bay would end. And it seems to me, Louis, that if he has the guts right now, he will be. Yeah. But when I say guts, I mean they will have no choice but to do what he says, because they're going to get three firsts and something else and maybe a useful player for him. Why wouldn't they take that?
Right.
If he shows them he means business and he refuses to play for them. But if they smell it on him, like, we can make this guy cave, then why would they do anything? So my point is this. If Rodgers has the guts, he will be Denver's starting quarterback this year. And if he doesn't, he will play for Green Bay. To that, you say what?
I mean, I'm not going to say it's impossible, but the key here to answering that question is this. What do Mark Murphy and Brian Gutekunst consider to be "quote unquote" fair value at this time for a guy who is the reigning MVP, a surefire Hall of Famer, who by all accounts is probably still at the top of his game? Maybe starting to turn down. Maybe we'll turn down at some point. Maybe it'll be this year, but at the very top of his game, what is fair value? I mean, and is Denver willing to pay what the Green Bay Packers deem to be fair value? Because really, if they wait, and let's just say this drags out into 2022, is his value really going to decrease by that much? Is there something that they can gain? Is there something to gain by them doing this sooner rather than later? Look, I think they have a lot to lose by doing it sooner rather than later. I think they have a lot to lose, that being Green Bay Packers management, if they accept a deal for someone who then goes out and wins at a very, very high level and makes them look stupid. I think they're playing a high-stakes game of chicken here. They really are. Because let's just say he goes to Denver, he winds up igniting Denver's offense. The defense plays well. They become a wild card in the AFC. They make it to an AFC championship game, or who knows, make it to the Super Bowl. I mean, look, anything's possible. And Aaron Rodgers is the catalyst. And say Green Bay got however many ones, three ones, a couple twos, a player, et cetera. Is that no matter what they get, it isn't going to be enough for the Packer faithful and for them to feel as though we did the right thing. Because in the end, it's really all about winning. And especially if then the Packers wind up struggling. So I think for Green Bay to move, for them to make a move this year, it has to be such a stupid deal for them that they are willing to live with whatever the consequences are as far as him doing well somewhere else, or them suffering this year. And I don't know if Denver or any other team is willing to do that. Maybe they are. That's why I say his exit out of Green Bay is not going to be totally by his doing, but it'll be partly by his doing, meaning they'll come to the table, they'll negotiate some kind of exit strategy for 2022, and that's how this will end. Because I don't know if for them the risk is worth it as far as him igniting some other team and them struggling in 2021 and them looking awful for doing so.
Louis Riddick, ESPN NFL analyst on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio. Louis, Matt's moving on to Matt Stafford. And by the way, if Rodgers went to Denver, Rodgers, Mahomes, and Herbert in the same division.
That's
poor,
crazy, isn't it?
Poor Las Vegas. Poor John Gruden.
Yeah.
All right. So if Stafford is going to the Rams. Now, this is a team that gave up a former number one overall who went to two Pro Bowls and a Super Bowl, two firsts and a third. For Stafford, even when you factor in the team-friendly deal Stafford's on, they think Stafford's a lot better than Goff. Stafford's expected to take this team to the next level. Lewis, the next level is a Super Bowl win. They've been to a Super Bowl. Will Stafford win a Super Bowl in L.A.?
Can he? Yeah. I think he can because I think he does have, Max, I think he has unique playmaking ability that Jared doesn't have, that he could be the difference in a big, in a high stakes game, provided everything else remains equal, like it was for, or rather similar to what it was when Jared was there and they played New England in the Super Bowl. Meaning, if the team defensively can play like they played last year, minus, you know, the playoff game against the Packers, that's a championship caliber defense. If the offensive line can make some improvement, Cam Akers stays healthy, the running game stays as strong as it is from a personnel standpoint, and you know Sean is very good as far as a play caller is concerned, then I think they are a potential Super Bowl team. And quite honestly, that's what they have to be. That's without Sean saying it, that's what he's saying. That's what he just told everybody.
Yeah, I mean,
my football intellect, along with the other two phases of this football team, defense and special teams, and Matthew Stafford is a Super Bowl combination.
I'll tell you what, Lewis, I say this about the NFC West, and I mean this. It's possible to me that any team in that division could win the Super Bowl this year. It's also possible that any team in that division can finish last in the division. Even Arizona, if Kyler Murray takes a developmental leap, he's already very good. Yeah. Their defense should be better, et cetera. Seattle's defense should be better, clearly, just by guys getting healthy. San Francisco was in the Super Bowl 2 years ago. I mean, there's a reason every team in the division except for Arizona recently has been in the Super Bowl. It's a really, really good division. But I would say that with Stafford on L.A., I think I like them in the NFC West, and that's a good a division as there is. Who's going to start for the quarterback? Who's going to start for the Saints at quarterback this year?
Oh man, I've talked to Sean about this. I know he really likes Taysom. If Jameis doesn't start for New Orleans this year, then his career in essence to me is kind of like closer to the end than it ever has been. And that's pretty sad to say, given how young he still is. Because, look, Sean has said that Jameis has really kind of immersed himself into that culture, has learned the offense, has ingratiated himself with teammates. He's a much better talent at quarterback. I'm not just talking about arm talent. I'm talking about playing the position. We're not blind here. We can see just how talented Jameis is. He should take that over. He should be the quarterback. He should be able to set himself up for a huge payday in 2022. Huge. That's what should happen. Now, we all know that between what should happen and what's going to happen, there's a lot of stuff that can go wrong in between there, and some of it may be out of his control. But if you're just looking at this objectively and organically, he should be the quarterback. He should set himself up to get his reputation back to where it was when he was drafted number one overall. I think it's the perfect place for him.
Louis Riddick, ladies and gentlemen. Louis, I just want to tell you one thing. You did not get the Giants GM job, okay? I'm looking at a five-year draft review for the Giants.
Yeah.
Total selections, 38. Pro Bowlers, 1. Other teams, they had their draft pick, 7 are on other teams, 3 are on the street, 15 are reserves, 1 is a Pro Bowler out of 38 selections. So I hope the next time my team is looking for a general manager, they would take under advisement. They would consider Louis Riddick. That would make me happy.
Yeah.
Louis, then I wouldn't get to talk to you on the radio as much anymore, but I would enjoy Sunday a whole lot more. Thank
Absolutely.
You. Yes. Thank you, Lewis. I appreciate it as always.
You bet, my man. Thanks.
Lewis Riddick joined me on the Goodyear Hotline, helping you discover the road ahead. Goodyear More Driven. Coming up on No Doubt. Team USA got it all together now? Football offseason's always wild with all the trades, free agent signings, and new coaching hires. Teams have to be excited for the coming season. If you want to hire people that's really excited, that you're really excited about, team up with ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter's matching technology finds people with the right experience for your job and actively invites them to apply. No wonder 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. To try ZipRecruiter for free, just go to this exclusive web address, ZipRecruiter.com/Kellerman. Once again, that's ZipRecruiter.com/KELLERMAN. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire.
Wake up with Key, Jay, and Z. On your radio.
Good morning, everybody.
Your phone.
Good morning, Key.
What's that?
Your smart speaker.
Now playing ESPN Radio.
Or on ESPN2.
What if Belichick would have left and Brady would have stayed in New England? New England wasn't going to the Super Bowl. They weren't going to the playoffs because the roster wasn't good.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin. Tomorrow starting at 6 Eastern on ESPN Radio and on ESPN2.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus, also on Sirius XM Channel 80, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. The Max Kellerman Show, presented by Progressive Insurance. No Doubt is brought to you by My Computer Career, training for a better life. Going to get right down to it.
We got you covered.
Let me tell you what I think it means.
No Doubt.
What do we have on today's edition of No Doubt, Raj?
All right, Max, we've talked about it on the show, but after beating Spain, you're no longer worried about Team USA basketball.
Nah, son, I am worried about Team USA basketball because the world has caught up every, 4 years. We say this every 2 years. The world has gotten better. Most of the good teams have, say, half a dozen players either in the NBA and or in the EuroLeague, right? Like pretty high level, and it's the highest level. And Team USA is not our very best. We have not sent our, best or even all second NBA type team over there. So I am worried. I'm still worried. And there's a reason that we've never lost two exhibitions in the same year until this year.
Yeah. All right. Yeah, makes it more interesting. I like it this way. Hey, yeah. It's National Get Out of the Doghouse Day. Now, I know I've spent plenty of time there, Max. Have you had to get out of the doghouse throughout your life?
Oh, yeah. Constantly. I find just generally – I am constantly embarrassed about my behavior, at any point in my life. If someone said, I knew you when, or, like the Twitter account Freezing Cold Takes, and it's basically like, oh, this is what you thought back then. My behavior throughout my life is constantly embarrassing to me, which tells you, I guess, I don't know, I don't like myself. I don't know. I feel like I like myself, but somehow when I look back at any point in my life, I go, damn, man, I didn't know how to act. So apparently, if that pattern holds true, I'm still doing that right now. No wonder everyone's so mad at me for all my sports takes. I don't know. Yeah. So anyway, throughout my life, yes, I've been in the dog. I've frequently been in various dog houses that I've had to get out of. It's true.
All right. Fair enough. Hey, NBA offseason is coming up soon. You know, that's a lot of fun, especially on this show. Max, you expect the Lakers to make a splash this offseason.
Nah, son. And the reason I say that is because I don't know. Well, does Lonzo Ball count as a splash? If it does.
Nah.
Right. They'd have to move AD for a healthier player, right? I don't know if you do that. AD, when he's healthy, the dude is so good. He's so good. Like, Giannis is amazing right now. AD in last year's finals was like, as good as it gets. So I don't see. And then what are their resources? Like, what can they do? If they bring in Lonzo Ball, I think that'd be a big thing to do. Lonzo is almost good enough to make a big three right now. He's really quite good. But if that doesn't count as a splash, then I don't know how they could do more than that. So the answer is Nasan, if I didn't say it. Did I have any no doubts there? I said Nasan all three times. Oh.
Yeah, all three.
I said no doubt about the doghouse.
Doghouse.
But did I actually say no doubt?
No doubt.
There it
is. I don't know.
Well.
You did not give an answer for that. No.
Yeah, right. I can't play no doubt. It's very easy. The rules are either I say no doubt or nah, son. I don't think I've once done it properly. I get so
no,
I have such
haven't.
An arm-waving opinion about everything that as soon as you ask me, I got to tell you my opinion before I say the thing. Mike in South Carolina, you're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
Max, is over, man. The game is over, man. It's already in the wraps.
Why?
CP Dunn, the only way he gonna was a call is he gonna have to go to the Lakers.
Why is it over? Hold up. Why is it over? The last two games came down to the last possession, basically, and it took all time great plays to preserve the game for the Bucks. Why is it over?
Because they can't get what they need out of the other players. The Phoenix just can't get what they need out of everybody else.
They got to pass him the ball, but maybe they will now, Mike. You know, like Stephen A's been stumping for Cam Johnson. I like Cam a lot. Mikal Bridges can play. You know, DeAndre, they got a team of guys who can play. They're not very deep right now, but they got six guys who can, or seven guys who can certainly play. And maybe now Chris Paul and Devin Booker got the memo and will start finding open teammates if they're doubled and tripled. Marvell in Michigan, you're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
Hi, I was calling about a three-team trade.
Okay.
Warriors draft pick and Andrew Wiggins to Philly and Ben Simmons to Portland.
Wait, Andrew Wiggins and who?
Back. Andrew Wiggins and the Warriors draft pick.
Oh, okay. That's a great draft pick. Yeah, because it comes for – yeah, right. Go ahead.
And then Ben Simmons to Portland, but Dame to the Golden State Warriors, but the Portland Trailblazers get Wiseman too.
So the Trailblazers get Wiseman and Simmons?
Yep.
I mean, there's value there, but there's not a lot of shooting. And they still have Nurkic and Kanter and you know, like they need more. I don't love the fit there. I see what you're doing. You're expanding it to a three-team trade to try to make it work out for everybody. My original idea for a trade for Lillard would be Simmons, Thybulle, Maxey, and draft picks. Because Simmons and Thybulle are, you know, Thybulle's young and under team control and inexpensive and a great defender already, second team all NBA defender. I think maybe even next year he's going to be the best defender in basketball. And he's going to hold that title for a while if he can shoot well enough to stay on the floor. Maxey has offensive upside. Simmons is great in every way except shooting. And then he's like weirdly, like refuses to shoot. But like that's a lot to get in draft picks for Lillard, who's over 30. But would give Philly a real 1-2 along with Tobias Harris as the third guy there. Seth Curry, a lot of shooting and a real 1-2 to try to match up with Brooklyn. Coming up, last take is your take. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. You could save big when you bundle your auto, home, motorcycle, RV, or boat. Visit progressive.com.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus, also on Sirius XM Channel 80. Here's your chance to get in for Last Take, 888-SAY-ESPN, 729-3776. Relive one of the greatest icons and most successful teams in sports history, Michael Jordan and the 1997-98 Chicago Bulls. Stream the Emmy and NAACP Image Award-winning series, The Last Dance, on ESPN Plus.
You heard First Take?
At least it's good to hear your voice finally, because yeah. I know on First Take, I only hear you on the intro and outro.
Now hear Max's Last Take.
You can hear your Last Take today. Drew in Wisconsin, you're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio. What's your Last Take?
Hey, Max, I was wondering, do you think that last play by Chris Paul on Giannis when he pushed him, do you think that was dangerous or just him trying to make the right play and Bucks in six?
Well, I'm having a hard time hearing it. Raj, is he asking, what was the question? That he pushed him?
Yeah, well, you know, the play that you were talking about, the bonehead play, was that dirty? Was it a dangerous play?
Yes, it was a dangerous play. That was not Chris Paul's intention to be dangerous. What his intention seemed to be was to make sure Giannis didn't score. His judgment was very bad, though, because Giannis is a big, strong guy, was too close to the basket, and Chris Paul really had no chance to prevent him from scoring. We're watching the play on ESPN Plus right now. So Drew Holiday, there's the alley-oop, and Chris Paul just doesn't want him to score. And I think also eased up a little bit at the end because he realized it was a dangerous play and he wouldn't be able to stop him anyway, and by then it was too late. So he didn't stop him. It became a two-possession game. Like they were going to have a 3-point lead anyway. It's one possession with 15 seconds left. But then you give them the ball back on the free throw line. That was the mistake. And I think that it was dirty. And I think as Chris Paul realized it, he got caught in between And his priority, he was not trying to be dirty. His priority was don't let Giannis score, and then he realized too late he couldn't do anything about it anyway. But it was a terrible play on a number of fronts. Austin in Florida, you're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
Hey, Max, I think if Chris Paul doesn't win this year, I think he should sign a team-friendly deal with the Lakers and win next year. What do you think?
Well, if Chris Paul wanted to give up $40-something million a year, yeah, he could sign. He could go to the Lakers and, you know, win a championship. You'd think him and LeBron James and AD would win a championship. But that's no, you know, I once asked Marcellus Wiley, did the radio show Max and Marcellus in L.A. radio for years. I once asked him what percentage of his career income would he have given up, because he'd never won a playoff game, to win a playoff game. And then what percentage to win a Super Bowl? And I think it was something like, he'd have given up, Raj, I don't remember if you remember this, but it was something like 5% of his career earnings to win a Super Bowl, right?
Yeah.
And a lot of people are like, really, only 5%? And I'm thinking, damn, 5%? Like, that's a lot of money. And people have to realize, as driven as these athletes are, you know what the NBA Finals is? It's a TV show. The NBA is a TV show for which Chris Paul gets paid $40 million a year. The NBA Finals is a much bigger TV show for which he gets paid much less. That's the reality. So does he want to be on that TV show, the bigger one, so much that he's willing to work for one-tenth of what he gets on the normal TV show? I don't know. I would think not. Of course, when an athlete is willing to do that after they've made hundreds of millions, we admire it, because it really shows that they care as much about it as you want them to, right? But most guys ain't giving up no $40 million a year to win a championship. Sean in Delaware, you're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
Can you hear me?
Yep.
Listen, if Deontay Wilder loses this fight to Tyson Fury this time in Act 3, I think he should leave Golden Boy and go over the top rank with Bob Arum, man, because he cannot afford to lose this fight, man.
Well, we're not talking Wilder Fury today. We haven't yet, but I'll just say this quickly. Deontay Wilder's a great fighter, and people sleep on him criminally. Deontay Wilder is 217 pounds at his best fighting weight. Tyson Fury's 265 or something like that. So, what? Yeah, no kidding. Tyson Fury beat the brakes off him. Fury's the best boxer in the heavyweight division, and he's 6'9" and outweighs Deontay Wilder by 50 pounds. That Deontay Wilder can even compete is amazing. So, like, Wilder, and not only that, everyone's going to lose to Fury. I suspect Anthony Joshua, too. Andre in Massachusetts, you're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
Yes, Max, coming from the boxing tradition and straight off a boxing take, you're well aware of the wisdom that everybody has a plan until they get socked in the mouth. Right. And that's what we're seeing in the Bucks and Phoenix Suns series. The Suns have come inside and taken some power punches, Max, and they're a little bit punch drunk. They're a little bit woozy on their feet. And so I think it's not about momentum in game six. I think it's about endurance. And the Bucks are the fresher team. They have the eye of the tiger. The Phoenix Suns.
Well, they're the deeper really team. Like the Suns have, with Saric, they go eight deep for real, right? They got the five starters: Chris Paul, Devin Booker, Mikal Bridges, and you know, Jay Crowder instead of Cam Johnson as the season wore on, and DeAndre Ayton with Cam Payne and Cam Johnson and Saric off the bench. Now without Saric, they go like seven deep of real players. You know, it's even in the playoffs where you want to shorten the rotation, not a lot of guys. And so Monty Williams had to start playing those guys like 40 minutes a game early in the series. And maybe it caught up to them. It's a good point. You know, maybe the deeper team is the fresher team, even without DiVincenzo. Richard in Manhattan, you're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
Max, this playoff series between Milwaukee and Phoenix, we haven't had something all the other series in each round have had. Do you know what that is?
What's that?
Injuries. So you can't complain about injuries in this series.
Well, I mean, DiVincenzo is there. There's no injury in the series, but DiVincenzo's not playing for Milwaukee. Saric is not playing for Phoenix, and something's up with Chris Paul. Like, whether it's COVID lingering effects, whether it's ligaments, and whatever it is, would you agree, Richard, that something is up with Chris Paul?
Yeah, maybe. Yeah. Maybe. But still, there are no major injuries where
during
somebody
the series,
is out.
Correct.
Where we, right. That's the big thing.
Yep. Well, Richard always has some angle you haven't thought of yet, and that's relevant. Always. You know who he reminds me of? Harold Letterman. The late, great Harold Letterman, the unofficial judge on HBO boxing broadcasts. Harold would listen to either me and Jim Lampley and Roy Jones or Larry Merchant and Jim Lampley and George Foreman, whoever it was. We would go on and on and talk, and all three of us loved to hear our own sounds of our own voice. And we'd talk and talk and talk about every angle of a fight for three straight rounds. Then Harold would come on to give his unofficial scorecard and bring up a point that is a salient point on the money and no one had said yet. It's like, well, that's impressive. Richard is like the Harold Letterman of this show. Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio. Shanae and Golic Jr. coming up. See you tomorrow. Proof.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.